We're still in our series entitled Made, and I want to talk from the thought, you can't be serious. You can't be serious. I want to try out my stand-up routine here. And see and kind of gauge the congregation, see for a second where we are, you know. Have you ever been kind of in a spot where you really weren't feeling you? Like, you just, I mean, you start listing all the things as to why you just, you ain't it. You know, I used to think that at some point that I probably could have played pro ball, football, not basketball, too short to try to be on the court, and I was a little too strong and stocky to try to play after high school. Now, I was good, don't get me wrong, I just was not tall enough. You know, to me, to go pro, you got to get at least, for what I was doing, you know, I needed to be about, 6'7", 6'8". You know, 6 feet ain't going to do it. And so football might have been my spot. And there may have been a time when I thought I could have gone pro, but then I realized something about myself. Realized that I just didn't have the discipline or the drive to do it, because I just began listening to everybody else as to why I couldn't do a thing. So I just decided I was just going to say, you know what, they're probably right, you know, too short, too this, too that, and I kind of disqualified myself from trying. So I'll go ahead and do something else. And then when I think about ministry and the fact that I'm up here, and I've told the story a million times, there should be no reason why I'm up here, right? I have some speech difficulty. I'm an extroverted introvert. There's no reason that an introvert should be up proclaiming stuff to a group of people. Especially since introverts, and I'm speaking for all introverts that are in here, and you don't have to say amen because I know you don't want to say amen out loud, so I'm not going to make you, but just wave your hand if I've hit on it. Introverts have a hard time being around a bunch of people to begin with. And it, after a while, you know, people become worrisome because, you know, come on, we just had Thanksgiving. You don't want to be around folk after a while, right? And being an introvert is worse. You only got so much time to begin with. You got a pitch count. You know, I'm already letting you in my space, but God help you if you say something crazy. That 10 minutes that I was going to give you got reduced to about 3. I can't handle it. And y'all know me. I say, you know, sometimes I'm in a mood where it's like, I can't really take it all in, good or bad, because I just need time to reset, because it takes a lot, right? So, introvert, speech impediment, all kind of stuff. So if I start listening stuff, I disqualify myself from probably being a public speaker. Right? I'm not the best person in the world. So according to me, I disqualify myself from God using me. I have a temper at times. I got this. I got that. My patience is low for people that do silly stuff. I'm petty. Some of y'all know that I'm petty. I'm funny petty. I make sure my petty is hilarious. But I'm all this stuff. When I look at myself, I don't always see myself as something that God can use. Now, you may not do what I do, but sometimes if you look at yourself and think about yourself in those hard moments, you're like, God, not me. Because there's no way that you're going to use this to get something done. It sounds more like the title of the sermon, you can't be serious. Because you know, when God begins to really start working things in your life, and all of a sudden you're happy because stuff is happening, then all of a sudden God says, okay, now I want you to step out. The first thing you say to yourself might be this: you didn't talk. That ain't me. Not me. You lied, right? Well, no, God can't lie. So you must have made a mistake. No, God can't make a mistake. No, okay, somebody was supposed to be here instead of me, and I got their word. No, God don't make mistakes. So we go through this internal conflict and try to figure out, how can we get out of this? And God keeps trying to tell you, I'm serious about you, your life, your purpose, your destiny, your future. So serious, in fact, that I will deal with all of your questions and internal struggle in this moment. Let me prove my point. Y'all read the story of Gideon? You know, I'm not going to insult, you know, biblical thinkers and stuff. I know a lot of us been, you know, at some point we have learned about different people in the Bible. So I'm not going to insult your intelligence to try to do this whole overly academic thing and do this extremely great exegesis that only professors would enjoy. Let me just boil this down to some simple facts. One, Gideon was in a wine press trying to make sure that nobody was stealing his wheat. Reason he was in a wine press was because the Midianites were what? Overrunning their area. And so he was hiding like a smart person in the last place that anybody would look for. These are facts. All right. Gideon was hiding, trying to handle business for his family in a wine press. Then the angel of the Lord decides, okay, it's time to find this next judge that is going to lead the people out of this mess into a season of prosperity. And the one that God chose would be the guy who's hiding in the wine press trying to make sure nobody steals his wheat. So crazy, in fact. The angel comes, looks at this man hiding in a wine press, and says the following thing: the Lord is with you, wait for it, mighty man of valor. Ain't nothing mighty about hiding, right? Is this thing on? Ain't nothing strong about hiding out. It doesn't give the appearance that you are bold and stuff like that. Okay? It's kind of like the person that says they'll fight anybody, but then that person shows up ready to square up, and the person that kept talking all the garbage is hiding behind the bush. Right? There's nothing bold about that. They talk stuff, and now they hide. But here's the thing about Gideon. He wasn't talking smack. He was minding his business. He don't want to be seen. He don't want to be called out. None of that. He is just trying to mind his business. Then suddenly God sends a messenger to say, you know what? You a strong man, and the Lord is with you. So Gideon says, you know what? Let me tell you something. I don't know what you're talking about, but you ain't talking about me. I am the least in my own family. Matter of fact, Gramps, on top of that, he said, my family is the least in the tribe. What you talking about? Might. I am the lowest of the low. I'm disqualified from this conversation. The angel didn't let up. He said, now look, I don't care about all that. you are going to save your people and you're going to make moves. And guess what? That ain't going to change because God has made up his mind. And then Gideon says, all right, well, if you're so convinced, I'm going to go and bring this gift, this offering. I'm going to go get it. But I got some other things on my mind too. And the angel of the Lord said, I'll wait on you. Let me tell you something about God. I ain't going to take long, I promise, but I want somebody to actually get excited about this part. I don't care what you try to say about yourself. I'm going to start with you. I'm not starting with anybody else. I'm starting with you, just like I got to start with me. I don't care what you say about yourself to try to disqualify yourself from what God has for you. God don't care about that. I don't care what your past was. God don't care about that. I don't care if you were just so messed up and everybody in this room knew about it. And let me go one more step. I don't care if everybody knew about how messed up you were and they were there when you were being the mess. God makes up his mind and makes a decision. Guess what? There's nothing that is going to disqualify you from fulfilling what God has for you. That's good news. Because even when you think you can't be used, God reminds you, yes, you can. Even when you think that God has forgotten about you, God has never forgotten about you. Even when people try to tell you that you are insane for thinking that you can do this and do that, God will come along, find you in the midst of a low place, look at you, and tell you, you will fulfill it.
Come on, say it.
Even when you say, God, you can't be serious, God says, I'm deathly serious. Let me tell you how serious God is about it. There's three things that God shows you about how serious he is. Ready? First, God identifies you by your future. God identifies you by your future. Somebody say future.
Future.
That means that God does not care about your today. In the sense of God does not care about what you're going through today as a qualifying mark for you obtaining what is already promised in your future. God will call you by your future before calling you by your current condition. That should have had somebody shout. Listen, I'm sorry. I thought I was in the right place, but let me help y'all out. Some of y'all that have been at Bible study over the past several weeks, spoiler alert, next Wednesday we're coming back. David, when he was on the run and he decided that he had to get out because now it was getting too much, he ran off, had to find ways to hustle to make sure he had protection, had something to eat, all this other kind of stuff. He ran up into the city of Gath, a place where his enemies have been, and he had been fighting these people forever. And when they saw him, the first thing that came out of their mouth was this: is that not David, the king of the land? Let me tell you why that's so important. Because David, at that point in time, was not king of Israel. They identified David not according to his today, his moment of running. They identified him according to what God had already destined for his life. Listen, God did not identify Gideon according to hiding out in a wine press. God identified Gideon according to what he wanted Gideon to become. So stop identifying yourself according to what you used to be, being an ex this and an ex that. Identify yourself according to what God has already destined for your life. If God has already destined for you to be great, walk in greatness. If God has already told you that you're going to be a prayer warrior, a businessman, a businesswoman, whatever it is, identify yourself according to how God sees you, not today, but in your tomorrow. If you're preoccupied with your today, you will miss out on the blessing of your tomorrow. God didn't waste time. He said, mighty man of valor, the Lord is with you. Identify him by his future. The second thing, God will meet you in the midst of conflicting reports. The conflict is, I'm a mighty man of valor, but I'm hiding out. The conflict is, you're saying that there's greatness in me, but I'm hiding from the people you say that I'm going to what? Defeat. So you're telling me that I'm this, but I can't even face this. You're telling me that for all the stuff that I see about myself, you're telling me that I'm going to be able to defeat what I am unwilling in this moment to confront. God, again, does not care about your today, because today will tell everybody certain stories. Today, I don't feel like myself. Not for real, just an example. Today, I don't feel like I can preach because I feel like I have failed God somewhere and I have no reason to tell anybody about God's goodness because I feel like somewhere I let God down. But God says, you can't let me down because I already had grace for you when you fall down and mercy to buffer you. So get up on your feet and be what you have been purposed to be. Okay, that didn't help you. Let me help you a little further. So you mean to tell me that everybody can see all the things that I used to do and what I did in my past and I can't hide from it and everything like that, but you are calling me to be able to lead somebody into the presence of the Almighty God when everything in my past says that I should be disqualified from saying anything whatsoever? You mean to tell me that I'm sitting in a pew right now, I got gifts and talents that I could use, but I'm scared to use them because I'm so worried that people will judge me according to what they see today, that they won't be able to see what you see, and I want to hide as much as possible? God don't care about none of that. God will enter into the conflict and remind you that it's about your future and not your right now. That your journey is going to be a blessing to somebody if you let God order your steps. If you know anything about God for real, you know that when the Lord orders your steps and when God keeps you in the midst of trying times and when God continues to buffer you and lift your bowed down head and give you joy in the midst of sorrow, hope in the midst of helplessness, and give you what you need in the midst of chaos, that he'll give you peace like a river, joy overflowing, that God will strengthen your faith even when it seems impossible. God shows up to let you know that no matter what you face, God will come through. So why should I worry? Why should I fret? Why should I fear? Because guess what? I'm still a human being. And I still struggle with the possibility that God just might be right about me. So because I still struggle with that, there's one more thing that the Lord will do. Ready for this? You may not shout off the other two parts. You may not shout the rest of this sermon. That's cool. But I hope you get this one. God's serious about you for this, and God will do this because he's serious about you. God will walk with you until you believe the report of heaven. Okay. I think I finally got to the right spot. God will walk with you until you believe the report of heaven. So here's what Gideon does. Gideon says, I still don't believe none of this, but here's what I'm going to do. I know I'm entertaining at minimum an angel. So let me go on back and I'm going to get this offering, and I'm going to bring it. tells the angel of the Lord, he says, listen, I'm going to bring this offering. You stay here. Here's the key phrase. The angel says, I'll wait. Let me tell you why that's important. The end of the story is not in the selected text, because Gideon still had questions. And church, I know I could tell all this stuff, but guess what? I'm trying to cover it all for balance. Even when you get to a place that you know God is present, sometimes you still got questions. And you still need to know some stuff. And you're looking for signs somewhere that God is really about what he's about. So, the end of the story is this. Gideon comes back, brings the offering. They offer it up to God. And then he says, if this is true, I need you to do something for me. And he brought a fleece. And he said this. Help me to understand that this is true. If this is true, I need some sign. Let the fleece be dry and the ground be wet. And like, is that what you want? All right, put the fleece on the ground. They went to sleep. He went to sleep. Next morning, fleece was dry. Ground was wet. But Gideon didn't stop there. Somebody on the first sign should have been like, well, yeah, that must be you. But what did Gideon say? He said, you know what? I'm still not convinced. Let's flip the script. Let the fleece be wet and the ground be dry. And the angel said, all right. And Gideon went to sleep. And the next morning, it was just as he said. See, nowhere in there do you see that God said, well, you just so out of it, I can't trust you with it. This is the shouting part. God will stick right with you and answer all your questions to let you know I am serious about you. I get it. You are at a certain place in your faith. And I understand that if I just say it, you may not jump right out at it. And sometimes you just want to sit around and try to mull over it. And you got questions. Well, guess what? You got questions. God's got answers. And no matter what you are going through in your internal self and what you're dealing with on the inside, God will stick around and let you know. I don't care what you're feeling right now. I'll answer every question. I'll show you every sign. I'll come through every time. I just want to let you know I'm not going to leave you. I want you to believe what heaven has got to say. And sometimes you need to know that you're walking with somebody that is listening to what heaven has got to say. That's why the church is important, because every now and then people need to know that there's a tangible sense of God's presence that says, no matter where you are in your life, we're going to walk with you until you believe the report of heaven, until you believe what God has said about your life. I know you don't believe it right now, but we ain't going to leave you behind, because God said that you will be great, and guess what? You will be great. God said that you're going to prosper and be in health as your soul prospers, and guess what? God said it, and that settles it. We're not going to wait until it's already happened. We're going to shout, and we're going to keep on shouting until you believe it for yourself. There's nothing wrong with you struggling and going through. It's called growth. So grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior. Grow in the places where God wants you to grow. Grow until you understand that nothing that can happen to you can separate you from the love of God. Grow until you understand that there's no doubt in your mind that God will keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed on him. Keep on growing until you know that no weapon that is formed against you shall be able to prosper, and every tongue that rises in judgment thou shalt condemn, because it's the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Get to the place where you grow and understand what the song says. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I'm his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Is there anybody in here? here that knows that God will never leave you, will never forsake you. He promised never to leave, promise never to forsake, promise never to leave you alone. Eventually, you get up and you fulfill what your purpose to do. But until then, let me tell you something. God is serious because he identifies you by your future. God does not care about what your today looks like. He'll show up in the conflict and remind you.
Thank you, Lord.
It's still there for you.
Thank you, Lord.
And guess what else? The Lord will not leave you until you believe heaven's report. Ain't you glad about it?